Okay. We'll call, excuse me. We'll call the April 9th, 2015 Planning Commission meeting to order. Have a roll call, please.
All present except
Art Smith and Kathy Stewart. And Louise.
Louise, and the mayor will not be here tonight. Oh, Art's not here either. Okay.
As usual, we start out with a quote, "Integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one is watching," by C.S. Lewis. So since no one's watching tonight, we'll be sure we do the right thing. And it's been a while here. There are no public comments, and so the approval of the minutes of April or March 12th. I have a motion.
Second, first, whatever.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes.
Second.
It's been approved and second. Do I hear a vote?
Aye.
I didn't capture the second, I'm sorry.
It was Jason. Yeah.
I abstain. So it passed 4-0.
5-0. No, Gary abstained.
No, I abstain. I wasn't here.
If you have an opinion, you've got eyes, you can read.
All right. And we call to order the hearing for a quasi-judicial matter regarding Fred Meyer's stores, request for conditional use permit, design review approval for expansion of a gas station located at 3300 Portland Road, CUP 14-002/DR2-14-020. Since there's no one here for testimony, we'll dismiss with the palaver on that issue. And we have a letter from Fred Meyer requesting a continuance in as much as they've signed the 120 or waived 120-day review period. So could we have a motion for continuance? Second?
Second.
I have moved and second for the continuance of the Fred Meyer application. Call for the vote.
Aye.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. It's 5-0 for approval of the motion. And moving along, staff.
All right. Just mentioned that that was continued to the next hearing date, so March 14th. May.
May 14th.
May 14th.
Right.
Right. Not going backwards in time. Let's see. So update on council items. As Commissioner and I were talking about before, the medical marijuana dispensary hearing at the Plan Commission seemed to go fairly smoothly. And we thought that's probably quite different from what might have happened 4 or 5 years ago, that kind of thing. But a similar thing happened at council, although they had more of a range of opinions. But the people that were showing up to testify were either in favor of the approach because they wanted dispensaries allowed, or they were against the idea of having additional restrictions. But we didn't actually get testimony against the idea of dispensaries. So that was interesting. I thought that was a little unexpected. But in any case, they did pass it. We did suggest one amendment to the language. When we proposed it to you, there was a distance measurement on the buffer that said from property line to property line. And we believe that's how the state was measuring it. And I think I got that from an earlier draft. But in the final draft rules, the state has their measurement on buffers from schools and such as from the property line of the school to the building. So we suggested changing it to match the state buffer, and that way you don't have the state doing 1,000-foot measurement on a buffer and us doing a slightly different one. So we suggested that made sense to have them harmonize. So council approved it 4-3 with that change. So one of the votes against was just someone who was against the idea of dispensaries, and two thought we shouldn't be adding restrictions to the dispensaries. So it's been a very interesting topic with a broad range of opinions. So, Doug, do you recall anything else we should pass on from council? Or
excuse me, Steve. Now, you mentioned calling it dispensaries, and I noticed in the minutes that there was an opposition to that in the sense that they said they don't dispense. So what is the true or correct, I guess,
so in the
designation?
In the language the state uses for dispensaries, they usually call them medical marijuana facilities. The problem with that is facility in normal usage is a pretty vague term. You know, it could, a facility in general language, that could be a farm, that could be a store, that could be who knows what, you know, could be a lab. So they also use the term dispensary, though. They just use facility as the general term. But it seems like in most code language, people were referring to them as dispensaries. We were sort of copying that language to get away from the vaguer term of facility. And we also referred to them as being similar to pharmacies in that you essentially needed a prescription. And it was pointed out that you're not actually getting a prescription. You're getting some sort of a note from a doctor. It's not the same as a prescription. But from the point of view of looking at what is the use like, I think that's actually an accurate description of what it's similar to, even if legally it's technically not precisely the same. So that was sort of the, I guess my take on those comments.
Thank you.
Doug Rux. The other thing is that the council on last Monday approved a recommendation to forward to Yamhill County on a conditional use permit for a winery up on Zimri, just south of Bell Road. It's a Hazel Fern Cellars, and they're converting a equestrian barn that had never been used, built, but no horse ever entered it. And they're going to convert that to a winery, and then they're going to plant about 2.2 acres of grapes for a vineyard. So they approved that. Briefly, the city's audit was completed, and that was presented to the council on Monday as well from the auditing firm. And the council also approved a land transaction with Cal Portland. Parent company is Glacier Northwest. And so the concrete plant down on 3rd Street next to the maintenance yard in the process of going through due diligence to purchase that additional property so that the city's maintenance facility could be expanded in the future.
Okay. The SCI forms are due?
Yes.
They are due. They're due on the 15th, so you should have gotten yours in the mail.
Mine's in the mail.
Good. So if you would please.
I haven't got mine yet.
You haven't?
Ooh.
Gotcha.
No. No, it's not in there. It comes from the state.
Did most of you get it by email?
No.
You actually got a hard copy mailed?
Mine got a hard copy. Next year, they said it's all going to be electronic.
I think they.
Yeah, right, man.
Maybe it was so quick I didn't realize it. I'm trying to remember. How long ago did it come?
It's a six-page thing.
It might have come a few weeks ago or a month ago. Okay.
Could you double check? I'm not sure.
Yep.
Has come.
It's a hefty fine if you don't get it in by the 15th.
Okay. Yeah, as soon as you said it, I went,
I don't, can you go online
Well, what I'll do, just to speed it up, I'll just call the administrative person working on it tomorrow and ask her to check. And if she doesn't already have it, I'll ask her to email it out to you.
You know you did it. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
You got to put your name on the top of each page and fill it out.
I've had a very busy life the last 3 months.
You did one last year, right?
Yeah.
Items from commissioners? Oh, Steve, you're going to love this one. I'm beating a dead horse, but Argyle. They are still parking and storing, if you will, boxes in their front parking lot.
In their front. So
they were there when I left.
They were
and,
so gradually going away.
Well,
I thought they were completely gone,
no,
but still
no.
There?
Okay. Well, they're mobile in the sense of one's on a trailer, or one group's on a trailer, one's on a truck. But when I left the first week of March, they were there. And I checked this afternoon. They're still there. They haven't moved. And I guess, you know, I as I said at the mayor's meeting a couple of months, or a month, you know, 2 months ago, you and I have talked about this. You've talked to them at least three occasions, and it took, I think, the day when I mentioned it in front of the mayor, the city attorney, and the city manager, who says she looked out her kitchen window and saw them every morning. And lo and behold, within a week, they were gone, all but these few. They're still there. But my issue is, as this commission conditioned their approval of their use, and it seems that they're ignoring the conditions of their use, and I don't think the city has been active enough in pursuing it. And I think personally, in the sense that they have had going on 10 months, is my guess, a minimum of 8 months to move those or get them in their proper location where it was approved by our conditions of approval, and they still haven't done it, I feel that the city needs to be a little more aggressive and consider fining them, because they basically, I know that you've contacted them three times. Obviously, they got the word, so they moved the majority of them, but they're still in violation of their approval. And I think I'm done with it, if you will, that there needs to be some punishment here, if you will. So that's my soapbox for the night.
Mr. Chair, yes, I have a comment directed at Mr. Rux and Mr. Olson. With the changes that we have wrought in the Planning Commission as far as ordinances, the signage, some of the planning and development of housing developments as far as coverage limits, you know, we've talked about discharge lines in communities. There's been a lot of changes that have come about, you know, that we've sat and heard on a commission. My question is, when an applicant comes, you know, our emphasis, our focus is to make Newburgh a friendly place to do business and to live. As we change ordinances, as we pass new legislation, when an applicant comes and puts an application in, whether it's for a housing project or an addition on a present building, are they given a packet to make them aware of changes that have come about as far as building code and that type of thing? You know, just to make them aware. You know, a lot of these projects, they build in their costs and, you know, and they embark upon these projects. I'm just wanting to make sure that we make them fully aware of what they're going to be facing.
I would say as a general rule, we try to make them fully aware, but, you know, the building code is that thick, and the development code is this thick, and then sometimes you have other issues like the stormwater codes and things, and which are their other whole manual. So the best thing to usually have them do is talk to someone who's an expert in those and have them walk through which rules apply. What things do they need to be aware of? And we do that at the counter informally, and then we also have pre-application meetings, typically weekly, so when they're at the point where they have a site plan, so they have at least a concept of what they want to do, then we'll sit down in a meeting and we'll have someone there from engineering to talk about stormwater and street improvements and planning, talking about all the development code items, and building department for building code issues, and the fire marshal. So that's the kind of meeting where we try to sort of go 360 around and figure out all the major issues, at least all the red flags that might wind up really costing someone a lot of money. And because those are the kind of meetings you're really trying to figure out, should you proceed with the project or not?
Right. And you know, with a set of blueprints that come through, would they have the size of trunk lines for discharge? And obviously they have the width of the streets, so we know they would comply with the new ordinances. But how detailed are the blueprints that are submitted, you know, for approval?
Well, if I may, having been in the business, that's why you have consultants. You have planning consultants, you have engineering, architectural, traffic engineers, and the applicant, whether it's a individual or a business, a builder, developer, what have you, that's why they have that team, because they are knowledgeable or make themselves knowledgeable of all the various communities or counties that they work in, and they get paid a fee for knowing that information and seeing that the applicant is aware and his application meets that criteria. So the president of the company may not know all the ramifications, but whoever's designated as the responsible for the development, if you will, would be made aware through using of the consultants. So in that respect, they're made aware of it.
And I think I would add to that is, you know, from the professional side, from the consultants who come in, I mean, they always ask the prudent questions. You know, I need the as-builts for the storm. I need the as-builts for the water. As-builts for the sanitary sewer, so that they know what size of pipes that are already there. But it's also incumbent upon us as we look back as the master plans. We've got a sewer master plan, a water master plan, a storm master plan. In next fiscal year, Public Works through engineering is looking at updating the water master plans. Last one was 2004. So sitting in these pre-op meetings, and something Steve and I and Jessica have been talking about, and we're actually having some internal discussions about pre-ops and how we do those, is making sure that we share what we know, because codes do change from time to time, and making sure that we're passing on to them all of the information that's relevant, because they might not always ask the right questions, or they sometimes a question gets forgotten. So I'm trying to take the approach with staff as well as myself is, let's be on the front end of this, let's tell them and inform them what they need to know, not necessarily have to wait to be asked, because that will change the perception of the development community overall, be they more the mom and pop type individual who's trying to do it on their own, to somebody who's gone out and is spending thousands of dollars on consultants to help them through their particular project. So we have to work the whole continuum,
right,
of that. And even when you get to the larger projects, sometimes issues come up, because we also have outside agencies we have to work with. Yamhill County, ODOT, and others, and Department of State Lands is another one. And so they've all got their regulations and is trying to get their comments in a timely fashion so that we can pass those on to the applicant so that they're sure that they're aware. Because I always come from the approach, we try to write staff reports so that they're as clean as possible. You write conditions for things that need to have a condition written for, but it's, you know, the goal isn't to, you know, come up with this long laundry list. It's to go through the plans, review all of them, make sure if they've met it, they've met it. If they haven't, let's get the condition in there. And stay away, if at all possible, of trying to write a condition that says you need to go out and get some other agency's approval. So we're trying to work that on the front end to make sure we get all those comments in up front so that the applicant is fully aware, because it is time and money for them.
Well, that's basically the 120-day rule, is to allow the time for all these agencies. Just in the resource agencies, there's 24 different departments that go through that particular review. So,
the premise for my remark, we're all aware of Ace Hardware and how they had their expansion project. And Ace Hardware has gone through 6 renovations over time. And the most late, you know, the most recent, you know, expansion, you know, they went ahead and they have structures, the shelving structures that they've always used in their stores that they used in the expansion project. Well, the seismic laws have changed. And Mark spent, you know, $50,000 literally having home office come in and help stock these shelves and stuff and get everything ready for the grand opening. Well, come to find out now that the inspector will not give them the final for occupancy because the shelving structure in the back is not bolted down to the floor. Now, these shelves have wide bases about this long. It would take an act of God, literally, to move them, let alone turn them over. So now they have loans that are predicated off of getting the occupancy permits before they can even get their loans approved and settled. And they can't get occupancy permit through the city here. And, you know, they're looking at some major problems to try to, now they're going to have to unload all their stock, clear it out in order to even anchor the shelves. So Mark's attitude is, you know, hey, I'll be glad to compete, and, you know, I understand. I'll be glad to anchor these things down, but can we do them one at a time as we have time and permits? And, you know, the city has said no. So, you know, that's a dilemma. And, I mean, you know, he's been a long-standing resident, business owner. It was a very unfortunate set of circumstances that this even happened. But because of a law that came about 2 years ago, was it? You know, is there?
It's longer than that.
So this is the type of thing that I'm kind of indicating, because the plans, when they were submitted for approval, showed the structures in place as far as shelving, but there was nothing indicating, you know, the new anchors. And Mark has been in that business for a long time. They've never had to anchor. It's right. Always been the way they did business.
Well, that
$50,000 can put them out of business.
Unfortunately, that seems the way things work in with regulations, is one department division will come up with a criteria like that that is not going to be passed on. And unless you ask the right question, but you got to know the question to ask. And if you're expanding your building, the building inspector is not necessarily going to bring that point up, because he's looking at the building, not the furnitures or furnishings inside. So it behooves the individual that's doing it to do his research, I guess. And it's unfortunate it occurred, but those things do happen.
Have we made this a matter of enlightenment to Fred Meyer? I mean, Fred Meyer's about to have to deal with the same thing.
Well, but Fred, I think we have a different situation. Fred Meyer's hired a contractor, and the contractor, you can bet your life, is aware of the building codes and the changes in the building codes. And I don't know how Ace Hardware did theirs. They may have expanded their building and then did internal application as far as shelving it, what have you, whereas having hired a licensed contractor, that contractor would have been responsible and would have made sure, I'm sure, of what he was responsible to do. So that may be the difference. But I don't, to answer your question, and Doug, you could back me up or not, it's not the city's responsibility to see that they're aware of all these nuances, because the city doesn't really know what, I mean, they know what your plans are, but it's not the city's responsibility to hold your hand to see you do it right. Only in, once you make your application and whatever plans are required, that the city will review those and see that they meet code. So it's just, in ICE's hardware, it's unfortunate, but.
Well, Mr. Chair, I am in active conversations with Mark Brigetz on that particular issue, and so we're working through all of that. But I think in part this goes back to my comment I was making earlier, is that when we get into pre-application meetings, is I'm looking for staff to bring up these things so that we make sure we don't get into these types of situations in the future. So with the issue on Fred Meyer, I know those, a lot of that stuff happened before I got here, but you know, they're going through a whole refixturing and upgrades of their particular store as well. I know in talking with building staff, is when we look at these type of commercial stores, and if plans show that there are some racking and shelving, we need to make sure that we raise the issue. Are you aware, if it's over 5 feet, 9 inches in tall, that they need to be seismically anchored to the floor? It does put then the responsibility back on the applicant and their professional team about how they're going to do that. We can't design it for them, but we can review the information that they submit. So I think the message here is we're going to be working much harder and better to deliver information to make sure that we don't get into these situations where somebody comes up and says, well, you didn't tell me. Now, well, can I say that it will be 100% perfect? No. We're human. Things do change, but we're going to try to do it better than what we've done in the past. And because that gets back to that, how does the relationship look to the community overall? Who's trying to develop here? We want to be friendly. We want to be open. We want to be helpful and doing all that. But at the same time, is that we have the responsibility to be regulators. So on one side, we're trying to attract companies and entities to do things within the particular community, and then on the other hand, we have a land use and a building code, and to a certain degree, our engineering department, a regulatory responsibility on infrastructure to regulate that. And so I'm trying to balance in between both of those to bring more in that the community is looking for, but then making sure that staff's going through the proper processes in doing all of their reviews. And I think they do a good job. Once in a while, some things can get a little bit sideways, but if so, that's part of my job to step in and see if we can get it resolved and keep moving forward.
Steve?
Chair, just not speaking about specific projects, but just the general process. Part of the thing where everyone can trip over it is that you go from a very general concept plan to a rough site plan, and this is for everyone. Everyone ends up learning through the process. The applicant too. You know, we've had annexations where people come in and they have a rough boundary survey and it's 20 acres. And then at the point they go to do the subdivision, they get an actual survey and they've got 18 and a half and they just don't have as much room as they thought. Now they can work with that, but sometimes the information is just rougher up front. And then as you proceed through it, you'll learn more about it and you find out, oh, that site's got wetlands on it we didn't anticipate, or and all of a sudden it shifts and changes the project. So the applicant's often not working with perfect information either. And that all sort of, you know, when you go from a concept level to an engineering level, until you actually sit down and engineer the site, I'm sure Gary can think of examples, or you don't really know how it's all going to work out. It's when you get to that level of detail. So part of the process is trying to deal with those surprises when they come up, and because most things proceed pretty regularly, but there's plenty of unknowns that come up sometimes. So that's just a general process issue, I guess, based on everyone's getting more detail as you get deeper in the process, and sometimes you find things out sure. later on than you wish you had. So, but and the other thing is a lot of our codes, the development code is more objective. There are things like for a certain type of use, you need so much parking, so much landscaping, and you can actually measure a lot of these things. And the building code is a more complicated code. I mean, fundamentally, there's often two or three ways you can resolve something. You know, we had some issues where people were changing the use, where it was becoming a more intense use, and it triggered them over from, when you go from like a retail store to a restaurant, from a building code point of view, that's a lot more people per square foot you can have in there potentially. And it might trigger something like sprinklers are now needed. That's a big expense. So you want to figure that one out up front if you can. But it turns out there may be some other ways you can solve that with fire alarms and other issues. So so there may be, sometimes a creative architect really helps find another way through the code where you could still meet the intent. So that's where you do wind up relying on the professionals too, coming up with some alternative solutions.
Sure. So. Well, the one thing too is with regard to building code, that's uniform building code, which is national, whereas local codes is more with the planning aspect of things. So, are anything further? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.